very good evening and welcome to tonight's Endgame. It's Monday, the 24th of February, 2014, and I hope the world, society, and everything is well with you. I'd also like to welcome all the members of the three-lettered organisations that have chosen to join us this evening, and Janice and Brian down at the Donut in Cheltenham. Good to have you along, guys. Of course, I'm talking about MI6, which is just that other wing of the NSA, which was the OSS, which was the Gestapo. Very important that you understand history. So, what have I been up to this week? Well, this morning I did recorded an interview with our good friend, it seems, Ole Demogord. And we're going to be talking again about his views, his opinions, and how his view of history has shaped his view of the present and the future. Very important. As I keep saying, know your history and you'll know what's coming in the future. But before I get into that, and before I play you some cool tunage as well, something that popped up on Twitter today, and I want to share it with you. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy the link to a photograph, and I'm going to pop it in the chat box here at awakeradio.co.uk and awakeradio.us, and welcome to Shaziz as well. You're awesome. And I'm going to post this link, and I want you to have a close look at it. Good evening, Mr. Reality. I'll see you tomorrow. Right, okay, so there's a link to a picture. And it's Barry Saturo and somebody called Michelle. Now, I want you to have a good close look at it, because two or three of us on Twitter have been analysing this picture throughout the day. And between us, we've come up with several interesting artefacts on this image. Now, obviously, one of them is surtled. And when we look in the circle, we see that Barry is apparently holding Michelle's hand. Although it appears that she has the hand that he's holding is one that has been sprouted out of the top of her right wrist, because her real hand is hanging down at her side. And also the coat that she's wearing and the trousers that she's wearing are a little bit of an odd colour. Now, I also pointed out that Michelle's hair seems to be blowing in a very odd way and seems to be quite smooth, and but a little bit fuzzy at the edges, and especially the bit that's just spraying out towards Barry. And some other things have been pointed out. Let's just have a look down the list of things that haven't been... Yes, look at the gap in the handrail. Fabric doesn't match Michelle's coat. And the left-hand nails match the ones holding Barry's. However, the extra hand has gold nails, whilst Michelle's are silver. Note also the coloured fabric can be seen behind through the legs. And also... and only he would be so proud of creating that. That was UK Labour, and yes, definitely. Michelle only has three fingers. She has three thumbs and 12 fingers. So if you're looking at this, this photograph of Barry and Michelle, and you spot any more minor, shall we say, photoshopped ingredients, then feel free to let me know, and I think I might put a little article together to go along with this photograph. And I think we might play a spot of the Photoshop game to go on the community press group in the next couple of days. How does that sound? So there's the link. Have a look at that and see what you think. Now, it's also a technical story that I found on 21stcenturywire.com. And I'm sure that to many, many, many people across the States, this sounds fantastic. It sounds wonderful, and it sounds like a really, really good, convenient thing. And this is the story, tracking and charging the Trans-Texas Corridor NAFTA Superhighway Control Grid is underway. Most people still think that due to public pressure, the Texas governor, Rick Perry, had abandoned the controversial Trans-Texas Corridor NAFTA Superhighway project. That was true. However, as Aaron Dykes of Truthstream Media finds out, the infrastructure and control grids have been quietly continued behind the scenes, and in true globalist fascist fashion, American roads have been handed over to foreign companies. Drivers will not be given the option. They will be forced to drive and pay on the new fascist highway system in the US. Now, we have a toll road here in the UK, and it's the toll highway, and it's the M6. Now, you have an option. When you're approaching this thing, it's very well signposted. All the charges are up there, and it tells you when the charges start and finish and everything else. Now, you have a choice. You can pay to go up this very new, very fast, very empty stretch of road on the M6. Or you can stay on the old road, maybe sit in some traffic, and not pay. Well, I've used both roads, and I can tell you that the M6 toll is very quick and very convenient. But I still had to hand over some Bank of England promissory notes at a toll booth when I was leaving it, and there was no option to sort of pay by having it deducted direct from my bank account or anything like that. Although I'm sure the system is there, but I haven't looked into it. Not the way Aaron Dykes has, anyway. The EU is similarly pushing an identical system in tandem to NAFTA's scheme, an EU scheme where bikers will even be forced to pay via RFID. You see, at the moment, a lot of toll bridges and etc. are free for motorcycles, because of their low impact on the infrastructure. Right. Another fly in the ointment, the ubiquitous technology they are using, as we recently discovered in New York State, the car transponders that the corporate state are trying to mandate for all drivers to use RFID chip technology. One concerned New York citizen did an independent analysis on the many ways his car uses New York's Easy Pass. And it could be tracked and discovered, and that he was being tracked and his data traceable in unexpected places, far and away from any toll road barriers. Known under the pseudonym of Puking Monkey, he drove around New York City only to find that his transponder became active multiple times on the short drive from Times Square to Madison Square Garden in Midtown Manhattan. There's a video there which shows that drive. And it shows how many times his receiver is triggered and the read alarm goes off. Private interests inhibiting free travel on public roads is paid for by taxpayers. So this is the article from Truthstream Media. The overlapping control grid of the Trans-Texas Corridor, NAFTA Superhighway, and Agenda 21 urban redevelopment in the Texas Triangle is taking over public roadways and directing human behaviour. This emerging reality hit home a short while back when travelling to Lockhart, a quaint small town famous for its barbecue, just a bit over half an hour from Austin on Highway 183, which is now displaced for some 10 or 12 miles by the toll road, the Superhighway 130, which lies east of Austin down to San Antonio. It was only once it was too late that I realised I was even on a toll road, figuring out that it was now impossible to travel directly to Lockhart without paying tolls. The warnings that public roads are being taken over by private Spain-based interests that helped derail the Trans-Texas Corridor superproject have now come to pass, and other sections are being phased in as well. And in the quickly changing landscape of the Austin area, Highway 290 that goes eastbound to Elgin is partially a toll road as well, despite allegations that it violates civil rights, and I-35 north of Fort Worth is being developed into a toll road, with plans to eventually force all I-35 traffic, one of the most important and heavily travelled roads in the USA, to pay tolls. To add insult to injury, Texas toll roads do not have toll booth operators, thus no Texan jobs, and drivers must either get an RFID transponder tracking device to pay the bill or pay by mail at a rate that costs one-third more. What? Why? Texas Tollways claims, quote, toll rates for people who pay by mail are one-third more for drivers with toll tags to offset the costs related to processing license plate information. Just how much does it cost, do they think? So you can read more on the NAFTA Superhighway and the takeover plan via Jerome Corsi, author of The Late Great USA, NAFTA, the North American Union, and The Threat of Coming Merger with Mexico and Canada, and senior writer of World Net Daily, who warned that the dead superhighway scheme was back. Now, as Aaron previously wrote, the RFID transponders are about tracking more than toll payments. They're used by law enforcement and government agencies to monitor innocent citizens, used to know crime while logging detailed movements in a database. Many toll road systems now use tracking devices for pay and authorization, and they've also been used by police to catch criminals. From the beginning, these transponders were designed as a payment collection system as well as a tracking system. So there's a link to the patent proving that intention. Quote, open road cashless toll collection system and method using transponders and cameras to track vehicles. Adding further insult to injury, states like Texas do not hire toll booth operators, refuse to take cash, and require drivers to adopt transponders or pay much higher rates via mail after photographing license plates and auto-mailing a bill to the registered address for payment. Absolutely, absolutely shocking that once again we see this totalitarian tiptoe. We see it a little bits at a time. They're slowly building this highway, and they're slowly privatizing the roads, and they're slowly introducing tolls. And as I said, we have the M6 here, toll road, and it's just a stretch of road. It's not the whole M6, it's just a stretch of it. But slowly but surely that's going to expand. We see tolls on major bridges, and that's going to expand. Now, the Dartford Bridge, which crosses the Thames and connects London and Kent, well, it's been there for quite a long time, and many thousands of drivers use that thing every day, 24 hours a day, and you can't tell me that they haven't paid for it already. So now, surely, they are just making profit. And they'll say, oh, it's because of running costs. Well, what are these running costs? Okay, you have to pay for people to sit in the booths. That's fine. Keep those people paid in. And you have to have a vehicle that moves backwards and forwards. But what are these other running costs for a rigid structure? And yes, there's going to be some maintenance, but you know, of the many millions of journeys that are made every year over that bridge, you can't tell me that it isn't paid for and it's not covering its costs and making a profit. But then, of course, there'll be shareholders, etc. Absolutely ridiculous. So that's what we're up against. You're now finding your restrictions on movement are being tightened up. And Agenda 21 was mentioned there, and we're seeing that being played out here in the UK with the recent flooding. And I was talking to my wife earlier on today, and, you know, we were talking about weird weather and the fact that all these flooding, and would it be something that would affect us. Now, where our property is quite high up, and it's not we're not expecting it to be something that will affect us, as it has had an impact on the nearby town of King's Lynn, which was recently flooded by the River Great Ouse. However, one has to be prepared, because you should never say never, ever, ever. But we were talking about geoengineering and the fact that chemtrails, as they're called, or geoengineering chemicals are being sprayed into the air to have a positive or detrimental impact on weather, depending on your point of view. Now, if you're a goat-legged queen who is expecting to have a nice day for some party or event that she's decided that we have to pay for, then you want nice weather, which means, hey, guess what? Somebody else is going to get the rain that should have fallen on London. And where's that rain going to go? Well, it's not always going to end up out to sea, is it? A lot of it's going to end up over land, over the Britain, or over France maybe, or Belgium, or somewhere like that. And we are paying for that. Our government will pay the many thousands of Bank of England promissory notes that it's going to take to get the required amount of aircraft up into the air and to spray the right amount of chemicals in the right place so that it rains where they want it to. So they're happy. However, what about the rest of us? What goes up must come down. And I think that's something that a lot of these people have forgotten. And I think they need to remember it, because this is the kind of thing that's going to have a really, really horrible impact on the rest of us. But do they care? I mean, they have HAARP, don't they? So they can keep their bits of the sky clear. But hey, beaming all that energy up into the air, that's going to have a problem as well, isn't it? Prodigy and Firestarter. I always like to get the show off to something with a bit of punch, you know. Right, so let's just review. There's a photograph of Barry Saturo and a woman called Michelle coming out of an aeroplane, which is blue and white, and has got a sort of big round circly picture which is representing an eagle and stuff. She's got three hands, and she's got gold nail polish and silver nail polish. Her coat is different colours in different places. What else did we say? Oh, she's got three thumbs and 12 fingers, and her hair is sort of sweeping out and then just kind of fizzles into the background and is a bit fuzzy and a bit smeary, which you wouldn't expect. And her trousers are different colours, and there's a different colour showing between the legs. And what else was there? I think that's it at the moment. But basically, whoever put this photograph of Barry and Michelle together has done a most absolutely shocking job. So basically, if the White House cronies and the prostitutes can't get a simple photograph of Barry and Michelle right, then what possible trust could you have in them reporting anything that he says or does, or that anybody says or does, with any legitimacy and honesty? I mean, he's never been legitimate or honest for the whole time he's been the air quotes president. He couldn't even get his religion right. You know, he couldn't even tell us that he's a Muslim and not a Christian. And, you know, he couldn't get his name right, his birth date, his birth certificate, all this nonsense. I mean, for somebody who's basically a CIA drone, I'm amazed that he's able to sort of walk and talk by himself. Well, no, he can't talk by himself, can he? Because he has to use an auto cue. And if that fails, well, we've all seen what happens. He just kind of shuts down and goes into standby mode. And I mean, even the Onion picked up on this and did a video about his auto cue stopping over breakfast during conversation with his kids. If they are actually his kids, of course, or her kids, or are they related at all? Who knows? So there was that, and I'm looking for... She's genetically modified. and I'm looking for maybe anybody that's in the chat room or following me on Twitter to just pull up that photograph themselves. It's in my Twitter feed, and I've put the link in the chat box, and I can put it back there again if you missed it and it's scrolled off the screen. So there it is again for you. And I want you to have a look and see if you can pick up any Photoshop or artifacts. Or anything that's just not quite right. And if you can let me know about those, please, either in the chat box. But if I miss it, I apologise. And allegedly, Michelle is actually called Michael. Well, that's right, yes. And another Michael disappeared. Ooh, now, controversy. Isn't it amazing how these things can start? Though, because, you know, some radio host somewhere could say something like that, and, you know, loads of people out there would believe every word he says or she says. I don't want you to do that. I want you to take this as an example of go and find out for yourself. That's what I would prefer it if you did. Maybe take what I've said, go away and find out, and then come back and tell me whether I'm speaking codswallop or not. I don't care. That's fine. But if you are going to do that, make sure you let me know who you are, because it's nice to know who I'm talking to. And last week, Anon said that the interview that I played with Ole Demogord was dreary or dull. Oh, that's right. It was dull, wasn't it? Or was he referring to the weather? Or were they referring to the conversation in the chat room, in which case they insulted a lot of people, as well as me? And Ole, who has been researching reality and has had his life threatened, etc., as more of which you're going to hear over the course of the next interview that's coming up. And the man and his family has been through the mill. So if he's dull, then I'm afraid whichever rock you crawled out from, it might be worth you getting back under it. Maybe piling up a little bit more excreta around it so that nothing can get in, and then just wait with your head up your own backside, awaiting for the blast to come and wipe you out. So what I'm going to do is we're going to move into this interview now, because something that we have to do is take positivity from everything. Now, I want to talk because I've had a lot of difficulty finding positivity with anything, but I'm learning, and if I can learn to do it, then you can. I've done things like embraced the fact that we are creatures affected by frequencies. That's frequency of sound. Just listen to your favourite piece of music. What is it? It's a collection of frequencies which appeals to your personality and to your brain. We are affected by frequencies of light. We don't like it when there's no frequency, when it's dark, but we do like it when it's light and when it's bright. But you have to get the right kind of frequencies. So I spent a few pounds and got myself one of those sad lights. They call them sad lights, seasonal affective disorder lamps. It's basically a couple of fluorescent tubes. And I find the light that comes off it very pleasing, and I find it very useful. So once again, creatures of frequency, we are taking positive frequencies from these things. And people like myself, people like Neil, the other people that present on awakeradio.co.uk and .us and Shazeers and 1800 Online, the new network that's now carrying our programs, excuse me, bodily functions decided to take over there in a very less than positive way. But yes, all these people and the many thousands, nay, millions more that are aware of what is going on and are awake, they are not just, hopefully, fingers crossed, they're not just keyboard warriors. They're actually getting out there, they're doing what they can in a way that they can to help make people aware of the reality that is around us. And I took a lot of strength from what Ole said in the coming interview, and I found it a very positive experience, and I hope you will too. So, without further ado, let's listen to the second interview with Ole Demogorn. So I'm joined again by Ole Demogorn, who spoke with us last week about the templates which have been used in various situations to create the society that's wanted by the world elite. And obviously it's something that we are looking to work against and to help humanity move forward in peace. And what I'd like to ask Ole this week is where he sees things going based on his knowledge of history. So, Ole, the things that you know, the research that you've done over the last 30 years, how do you think it can enlighten us to move forward so that we don't make the same mistakes again?
Do you know, we live in a world of dualities. You need left to be able to know what right is. You need up to be able to know what down is. And you need darkness to be able to understand light. And the same with spirituality and good and evil and so on. So I, for one, try never to blame or judge anyone for some, you know, it's like they say, judge the sin, not the sinner. And my way of seeing what is going on at the moment is that we are in a very challenging but amazing time. This is a time for extreme evolution, because we are in such a dark time, but at the same time, a time where we have incredible possibilities of evolving to a higher level spiritually and so on. This is, so the way I see it, this is the old stories where the evil and the good are meeting, all the big, where the young knight goes out and fights the dragon. We are living the same thing, but in a high-tech version.
Yes, yes. And we're seeing that revolution and that evolution happening very dramatically in many places now. I'm thinking specifically of Kiev. And we've seen demonstrations in the Middle East and the Americas as well. And the technology, how do you think the technology is impacting on those situations?
Can I just say one thing about revolution and evolution? Mm. Revolution means repeating. And this is why it's so important to study history, not to repeat what's been going on, because we have been repeating for a long time. It's been like in a loop that has just gone into a smaller and smaller power elite that has been, through this technology you're talking about now, has made it easier and easier for fewer and fewer people to control the rest of us. So revolution, I would say, is not the way to go. Evolution is the way to go. And also, when you study history, when it comes to revolutions, you will see that most of the time, if not all, every single revolution, the people who have come into power and have chopped the head of the former leaders and so on, within a year or two, they're even worse than their predecessors or whatever you call it. So revolution, not a good way to go. If it's not a revolution of a totally spiritual kind, where it's about love and transparency and truth and compassion, these were. But if you go into the old type of revolution, where it's a matter of overtaking the old power elite with force and with brutality, and so it will just go worse. So that is not the way to go, if I can have any say. Mm. When it comes to technology, it's I would say, if you remember last time I spoke directly to people in uniform and so on, I would say the same thing to people working for these high-tech companies, that it is great that you do all of these fantastic things with technology, where you can, cameras can see even more and more satellite things, drones, you name it, all of these things that can be used for good. But please understand that what you are working for at the moment are being used to control and imprison all of us, you included. So I would say, please, before you say yes to the next major order for some government somewhere, please understand that this technology is used as weapons against the population. And it is your karma. It is not something you can avoid. You are putting it on yourself. Your soul's karma is gaining whatever this leads to. So I would say this is a wake-up call for all of us, very much people like you as well.
Yes, I've often said that the technology that we have today is absolutely amazing, and I'm sure that the things that are in production or in design, which will be released to the public in the coming years, is going to be even more amazing. But it is, as you say, it's the way that it's used. It's the way that the power elites are able to take that and twist it and get a lot of people actually blaming the technology rather than the people that are utilizing it.
Well, it's technology. It's just stuff, you know, wires and cables and mother cards and whatever. That's totally neutral. It's who used them and for what purpose. That's the danger. So all of these inventions are beautiful inventions if they're used in the right way. Mm. I would say just be aware and don't get carried away by greed. When you see you get a big order from someone, check it out first. Because if you study history, if you knew that it was Adolf Hitler that made this order, how would you feel? How would you feel afterwards if you saw that technology had been used in concentration camps or killing camps or whatever? Mm. How would that make you feel, and how would you be able to live with yourself after that? If you look at the power elite today, you will see that the similarities are scaringly identical. That I know that sounds very extreme to compare like Obama, but with Adolf Hitler. But when you check history, if you see who funded the whole thing, why it was done, in what way it was done, carried out, what templates they used, and so on, you will see it's almost identical. So I would say that I would suggest that what is called the New World Order, which is being brought forward very forcefully at this time, could also well be called the Fourth Reich. They didn't make it with Hitler, the Third Reich, but now they're trying again. It's the same families, the same power elite are pushing this forward.
Yes, there's an article on a website called thecommunitypressgroup.com, which talks about these companies and their part in the Third Reich and the categorization of people, and how technology was the current technology was used, and then it was developed. There were new systems were developed because of the demand by the Third Reich, and I'm speaking specifically of companies like Siemens and IBM, how they developed their technology and actually invented technology, which they could then sell to the German government back in the 30s and 40s, and which was used very actively in the concentration camps. Now, I know that that time period is something that's quite important for you because of your father's resistance work. Would you be able to speak about that?
Yeah, of course. I would just say, when you speak about IBM and these companies, just like you say, very, very important to see where these companies come from. You know, in the concentration camps, these numbers that was tattooed in on the prisoners, those were for the IBM systems to be able to control the whole thing.
Yes.
And also, if you look at after the Second World War, when the Nazi war machine was sort of destroyed, that at least that is what people believe in general, but it was not. There was thousands and thousands and thousands of extreme Nazis exported by what was called Operation Paperclip from the Nazi regime.
Yes.
Like you had a few scapegoats that had to take the fall. You put them in Nuremberg and killed them off, but the major part was exported and then imported to countries like the United States, Argentina and different South American Latin countries and so on. And these people were used, one of the major figures in this Operation Paperclip was Alan Dulles, who was later the man who created the OSS with the help of many of these extreme Nazis like Reinhard Gehlen and many others. They were also part of creating NASA with rocket scientists like Werner von Braun and many of these other people, and also integrated into the whole American society with all of these things. So they did not disappear. They went into shadow, so you didn't see them anymore. That obvious. They changed names. They got new identities. Mm-hmm. But they have been very, very active to this very day.
Yes, indeed. And just looking at some of the systems that are being put in place here at the moment in the UK with Atos and the care.data system, the identifiers that are going to be extracted from your data, and the primary data that they want is the NHS number, which everybody's allocated at birth, your date of birth, your postcode, your gender, so that you can be identified, and all your medical history is then available to these companies like Atos, who are going to be controlling the data. It's something that's very, very, that gets its background from that early cataloging. And then these people that you were talking about there who were melted away into Western society and just sort of blended in, but still had big influence. That influence is showing through today.
It is. And this is why history is important. Mm, mm. Also, the Vatican State was extremely involved in this Operation Paperclip and so on. And so you see, just because it's 50, 60, 70 years ago, you think that's history, it's all over with. No, it's not.
No.
It continued, but they just went into the dark veils of the background that you don't see them anymore, because they changed some of them did plastic operations, they changed identities, they changed, but it's the same people sponsoring this whole thing, and it's the same agenda.
Yes.
And what their agenda is, total control, one world fascist state with one world army, that is to control the population, not to defend it, but to control it. The population totally microchipped, totally surveillanced with cameras everywhere, and anyone who stands up and talks against it or is not supporting it will just be deported to these beautiful, I'm not meaning beautiful, but FEMA camps like in the States and so on.
Yes.
Do not get tricked by, I mean, many people don't understand what these FEMA camps are. They don't even know that they exist. But at this very day, there's about 800 FEMA camps in the States active. They're active with staff and everything. And when you look at them, they are modern concentration camps. That is what they are. Mm. So this group is not to be taken lightly. You know, they mean serious business.
I think that there are very similar systems active in all of the major developed countries as well. And I think we focus on the US, and I think because it's very obvious, I think we see what's going on there. But it's also important to remember that a lot of these same systems that are used there are active in other countries like the UK and across Europe as well.
I think you're so right there to see. I think you need to look at this on an above national levels, beyond borders. This has nothing to do with countries. They see countries as franchise, more or less, that it's a global company that they're trying to create where beyond borders and all this. So that's why it's so important to study groups like the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, Skull and Bones, these groups, because that is where the whole thing happens. And that is where, after 9/11, within, I think, half an hour, suddenly they wanted to start the war on terror. where that come from, you know, suddenly they knew exactly who. And so in the States, they said, we need to go to the war on terror. Within minutes, Tony Blair in England started, yes, we will support this. Then the French Prime Minister, Mitterrand, or whoever it was, he supported it. And then the Swedish Prime Minister from a neutral country suddenly stood up and said, we have to support this. What was that? It's called insiders. Mm. It's insider trading. They know they are connected. And that's why these connections, I think, are crucial to expose, so that you will start seeing that it's not a matter of what England did or what France did or what Ireland or Germany did. They are connected. The people who come out and do these things are connected.
Mm. So, history then, and your history. Can you talk to us again about your father's part in the in the resistance? In the Danish resistance. Can you talk about and about how that that influenced you?
Yeah, I was born in Denmark, and I grew up with all these stories from my family and friends where, since Denmark was occupied by Nazi Germany in 1940, it was almost 5 years under occupation. Mm. And during that time, countries like Denmark and Norway, and so they were invaded, but at the same time, there was a lot of resistance going on, underground movements and so on. And my father was involved in the resistance movement. My granddad was put in jail for helping to smuggle Jews to Sweden. My grandmother's sister was part of transporting weapons in baby cots, and stuff like that. There was a lot going on in Denmark. And also one of the most powerful weapons that the Danes had was their humor. You know, they have a fantastic sense of humor, and they use that in these very difficult times to even play around with the Germans, you know, right, to get the morals, keep the morals up and so on.
Right.
Anyway, so I grew up with all of these stories, and it's got into my DNA, I think, the importance of that you have to stand up for what is right, even though it might look very scaring, and even though you're just a minority or very few, you still have to do what you feel inside is the right thing to do. Mm. And this is today I'm doing this. My brother Shantiritam Paramahansa, he's a so-called info warrior, where he's doing everything he can to expose it. My sister as well, she's doing everything she can to expose the thing about chemtrails in Sweden and these things. So we're doing what we can.
Right. So there's a family history, and you, your brother, your sister seem to be carrying it on very actively.
It's not a time to sit and pick your nose. This is a time to, there's a major wake-up call required at the moment. And I'm just trying to do my bit. Whatever I can, I will do it.
Mm-hmm. And obviously that family influence and that family passion about exposing the truth and exposing the elites and the way that we as a society, as a global society, are being controlled is obviously very important to you. And I know you've come at it from a historical point of view, but where do you see us going? Where do you see us heading if the work that you and I and your family and many thousands of others are doing, what if it has no impact? What if it doesn't have the desired reaction? Where will we end up?
If it doesn't end in a good way, we're heading for an extremely dark place. Mm. I would say very, very, very scary place. I cannot exaggerate that enough. It would be if we talk about the if it doesn't come out in a good way, it will be, we will be depopulated, like 2/3 of the global population, at least, mm. maybe even more. That is part of the plan. In a total slave society, totally controlled, awful.
And these are things that we see in in the media, don't we? We've seen stories of, I think primarily of 1984 and of Aldous Huxley sending us warnings from the past through media.
I mean, Huxley was a part of the elite, you know. They were insiders just leaking info, what is going on. Or maybe you should call him a whistleblower. Maybe that would be a better description. Yeah. But the thing is that I think there is another level to this one, and that's the spiritual level, where this is the time to evolve. It is an amazing opportunity for us to raise as human beings, you know. And I see this beautiful awakening going on all over the place. There, people are just popping up all over the place, starting to awaken. It's a painful awakening for many people, and that is why I also think you can't hit this kind of thing into the head of other people. You know, many times when people come into these arenas of conspiracies and so on, they become totally obsessed, and it goes into a very dark and like I said, obsessed way of thinking, because it's so overwhelming if you haven't seen it before. But so, and one of the things that most of us do wrong is try to persuade everyone else to see what we've just started to see. Not the right way to go. Everyone has their own time to awake. And so the only thing we can do is try to live as examples and also live to spread hope and joy and courage to the rest of our fellow human beings, not depress them, not push them down with fear and all of these awful future horrific scenarios which could go wrong. Because I feel this is a super, super good time to be alive. Very exciting, very challenging. But this is a time where I believe that very shortly we will come to a point where duality will cease to exist, that we will lift to the next level of evolution, which will be an absolute beautiful, beautiful time where suddenly we don't see each other as somebody we have to fight or compete with, but someone we can help and support, and we can lift each other. So yeah. It's like the native Indians, they say at the moment that we, the souls who are here now, we are the strongest of the strong. We are the strongest of the strong. And our ancestors have chosen us to be the ones to come down and live at this point to be able to face these things and go through it and just excel on the other side. So once again, this is not a time to wimp out or sit and just pick another channel and not see what's going on. This is a time to really start blossoming, I would say.
Yes, and I know it's very important to be aware of the darker side of things. But as your website says, you know, it's spreading a light on conspiracies. It's putting a light into those dark areas. But we mustn't. We mustn't fall into the trap of living in those dark corners. And I know it's something I'm guilty of, that I've become so fascinated and so desperate to expose some of the darker, seedier side of things that I've become, I found myself living in it. And we have to be positive. We have to see the positive in things. And as you say, take that to our lives and live as examples. And that way, that's when people start to see what we're doing, and they will then make changes in their lives. And so spreading a light on these things, being aware of these things, is important. But as you say, we've got to be positive, because there are so many positive things. You know, we were talking about technology. So many positive ways that technology is being used today.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But also, you know, the elite this is not just New Age, Wii U, you know, this thing about energies. Because if you look at it, the elite are very, very aware of the power of energy. And that is one of the major reasons why they're trying to push us down all the time with fear through media, through films, through everything. It's just push us down so that our energy goes down, which is because that is the arena where they can control us. So this is why I think that it's so important to raise your energy at all times, when remind yourself as often as possible to raise your energy. And because that the higher you are on energy, the less they can control you. So it's not just a New Age hocus pocus thing. It's for real. And the way to raise your energy is by filling your heart with gratitude, filling your heart with love and compassion for the people around you, and so on. That's the way to raise it. And when you raise your energy, it will automatically affect people around you as well. So this is, once again, if you start, I mean, like you said, you go into these dark things, join the club. I've been there for years, so I know the dangers, and I also know the effect on other people. That is not the effect that we want. We want to lift it. So the what we're looking for, at least I am, is to, just like if you have this beautiful body, but there's a cancer growth in it, you need to open up, you need to cut it open, and that is painful, and expose it. And even though it might be painful and smelly, it needs to be exposed, because it is first when it is exposed in its totality that the body can suddenly start healing itself. So
where do you get this positive spirituality from, Ole?
I don't know. Life maker. No, one of the things, I have a beautiful Raja Yoga teacher. Raja Yoga, that means yoga for the mind. It's actually the science of the mind.
Okay.
And through Raja Yoga, that is a 5,000-year-old philosophy on how to calm your mind down, how to develop and how to deal with difficult situations. And that is one thing that helps me, because there's no need for more doom and gloom. I think it's the other thing that is needed, and that's where I feel so happy and grateful that somehow I got this role to go into these dark areas and be able to spread some light. Can I just say about light and darkness and energies, it's really interesting if you go into the scientific view of this. If you go into a laboratory and you have a very low energy, I mean the lowest energy in the universe is called pure terror, fear is very, very low and very destructive. And then you got the highest of the high, that is what is actually labeled love, the extremely high energy. And these are the energies we can generate ourselves, depending on what we feel. That is what we send out. But if you let the two meet in a laboratory, you will see that it's not that suddenly they start fighting and they end up sort of in the middle. No, the lower energy, as soon as it meets this very high energy, boom, it just annuls, it disappears. And the only thing that exists after that is the higher energy. So it's just like if you walk into a dark room and switch on the light, there's no struggle and you get like a medium gray view of the room. No, when you put on the light, boom, the shadows just disappears.
Yes.
And it's the same here. So actually, I would say that Jesus was quite a super hacker, I would call him, because what he said was that whatever the problem is, love is the answer. If you translate that, whatever the low energy is, a higher energy is the answer. You meet. And this is where I think it's so beautiful when you see, like, you got all these SWAT teams and what do you call them, anti-demonstration teams, and they go out and they try to scare people and in any way press them down. But when people meet them, not by fighting them, because then we're talking about the same, the two energies on the same level, trying to meet violent with violent, hate with hate, doesn't work. That will just continue. But if you meet them, if you've seen all these beautiful images, like where you see people are hugging these, what do you call these anti-demonstration guys, you know, anti...
The riot police and...
riot police, yes, exactly, yeah. Riot police. When they start hugging them, when they put up mirrors show so that the riot police can see themselves, what they've turned into, when they start putting flowers down the gun barrels, and so, that is what cracks it. You know, like when you like the Iranian Revolution, for instance, where you had the fourth strongest army in the world at that time under the Shah, and the Iranian people just came to a point where they said, "Enough, we've had enough." And what did they have? They didn't have weapons. They didn't have anything. But what they did was they just came out into the streets again and again and again. And the soldiers were ordered, they started shooting them, they came with choppers, and there were 300 people forced into a cinema, they turned on fire, they put out tanks in the street, they did the whole lot, and people just continued saying, enough, just very much similar to what's going on today in the world, I would say. It's just like, we've had enough. And the soldiers, you know, when... they came to a point where they just felt, I can't shoot my own people. And then when they started this thing with putting down flowers in the gun barrels and hugging them, and the soldiers just broke down in tears and changed sides.
Yes.
And that is why also when you see many of these dictators, they freak out, because if you check out Khomeini or the Shah before him or Saddam Hussein or Idi Amin, or whoever it is, when they get to such a power thing and they create this powerful army to protect them, suddenly they start fearing the army itself because it's become too powerful, and they start fearing that the army will kill them instead. So then they had to chop the head of the generals, then the new generals, then after a while, oh my God, they're becoming too powerful, then they chop the heads of them. So it's fear, very fear-based, and often, if not always, you will see that the dictators, they destroy from the inside. They destroy themselves, self-destroy. And then, just like Gandhi said, that is one of the things that really gave him optimism, was that he said, whatever dictator in history, sooner or later, they just destroyed from the inside. They killed themselves, and...
And I think what we're seeing today is a lot of these same tactics and a lot of these same dictatorships coming through, but they're just being rebranded and they're just being a lot more subtle. Subtle now. I think about the U.S. military who got rid of a whole swathe of generals, and the connection between them was that they were all in charge of different elements of the nuclear retaliation systems, the nuclear warheads and stuff. So this whole swathe of generals was changed. So when you were talking about how a dictator becomes scared of his army and starts decapitating the generals, well, that's been done. Here in the UK, we've seen a whole great swathe of the military cut back, and economics are blamed, changing world situations are blamed. But we are seeing militaries, and we're seeing police forces across the world, globally, really being rearranged, being remoulded to fit the particular dictator who is in charge of the country at that time. Now, I take great encouragement and great energy from what you've been saying about how the positivity of the people, they keep coming out. And I think about how we as human beings are very influenced by frequencies, both on a physical level and an emotional level. I'm sitting in a room at the moment which is bathed in light from what is called a SAD light, seasonal adjustment disorder lamp, and it gives out vitamin D, and it's a very specific frequency. And I have people that have come to the studio and they sit in this light, and all of them have said, wow, I feel so good now. I've just been sitting here. I feel so positive. So what you were saying about light coming into a room and overpowering the darkness. Well, I'm an example of that because I'm sitting in it. You know, I bathe myself in it when I come into this studio to do interviews and to present shows. Whilst I might be talking about a lot of dark elements, I'm bathing myself in this very positive frequency, and it's definitely having a positive impact on me because I find that I'm calmer. I find that I'm more reflective, and I also find that I'm more focused, which is why picking up elements of what you've just been saying and looking at the positive side of them has become a lot easier for me, because I came from a very dark place. As I mentioned last time, 2010 was a big turning point, and I did go down to a very, very dark place. And coming out of that has been so difficult. But things like taking positive steps with the food that I put into my body, the light, the frequencies that I'm exposing myself to, has been so important. And these are the things that are denigrated by the medical system, the media, the government. You know, oh, it's all wacky, you know, new age stuff, all this stuff, things about frequencies and light and, you know, sounds and sound therapy and all this kind of stuff. It's all kind of, oh, you don't want to be interested in that because you need to take these pills instead. Listen to us, because we are the medically qualified people. We are important. We are government. But I'm somebody who is now very much a believer in the positive effects of positive frequencies, and I think that's something that I've taken out what you've been talking about.
I think you're an absolute beautiful example of how to deal with a difficult situation, and this dark place you're talking about. Join the club. I really have been there.
Yeah. So how did you bring yourself out of that? How did you see where you were and then start to climb out of that?
For me, it was a long road, because when I was doing this, I felt totally on my own. I didn't know that anybody else was into these things, and I was living at the darkest point of my day was. Well, I normally don't speak about this, but I can do it now. I came to a point where I was so deep into this with the assassination of Olof Palme, and I was doing it more or less totally on my own. So I lived out in a suburb of Stockholm where I was totally defenseless. You know, I was Mr. Nobody. I was so easy to dispose of. I even had I had two friends who was murdered, and I had also a visit when I wasn't home at the time, but they came in and rearranged my furniture in my apartment and then went out, locked the door, everything. And this is a typical example of how they do it to intimidate people. They go home, they pass whatever security you've got at home, they get into your apartment and they rearrange something, you know, they take all your books and put on the table or something. And it's just delivering the message that we know about you and we can get to you at any time, so you better shut up. You know, that was the message. And it came to a point where I was getting very afraid. And but it also it was getting me so low in energy that I really had to come to a point where I said, either I finish myself off, or I decide to stand up for life. I decide to live. And I came to a point where I said, okay, I have the possibility. I had something in my hand that could end my life. But instead, what I did was I sat there. I felt the whole situation. It would be very easy for me to end it there and there. But I decided this is the time where I will turn around, where I will turn my life around, and I will stand up from this time with my head high and stand up for what is true and right. And I will choose love in any situation that I can. Not easy, but this is my choice. This is what I'm going to do. They will not scare me anymore. I will not go into the dark anymore. And from that point, it took a little drastic to turn as well, because at that time I tracked down secret agents. I was spying on Nazi policemen that I knew had killed several people. It was scary. It was really scary.
Wow.
So I had been in that time for a long time, and I knew by forensic evidence and so on that you gather a lot of poison in your hair from these things if you are in these areas for a long time. So what I did was I shaved off my hair as well, just to get that off. And from that time, I started to, pumping myself with vitamins, forcing myself to exercise and all of these things, and also choose, watch comic films, be with people that boosted me, that I felt good to be around and so on.
Mm.
And also gave myself a bit of, it ended up with me leaving Sweden. I felt this is the time. After the two of my friends died, I just felt it's time for me to leave. So I left Sweden to a sunny place, which is Spain here now, where suddenly I was surrounded with blue sky and sun a lot of the time. So that helped me as well to boost this. But when it comes to energies, when you look scientifically, once again, everything is energy. Even if you look at a concrete wall, if you look in a special microscope, you will see that it's just moving parts. Whatever looks like a total physical hard thing, it's energy and it's moving.
Mm.
So, yes. But if you go back into a laboratory, because I really like to check out things as well, so it's not just some new age hocus pocus, but that it's actually working. And one of the things I love is, like, if you take a big loudspeaker and you put it upside down so it's pointing upwards, then you put a piece of cardboard on top, and then you spread sand on it. Then if you put a frequency there, a low frequency, what happens is that it's actually quite amazing. When you put that frequency and you start raising it a little bit, the sand corns, they start shaking after a while, and then suddenly they go into like a beautiful pattern, just like a snowflake.
Mm.
Beautiful pattern. And then when you start raising the energy, first it doesn't move at all, you raise the energy, and then suddenly it starts shaking, everything starts shaking, and then boom, it goes into the next, very different, but just as beautiful pattern.
Yes.
As a snowflake. And you can do that again and again. But what happens is that you raise it, nothing happens, and then you start, everything starts shaking, become very agitated and irritated or whatever you would call it. And then suddenly, boom, it goes very quickly into a totally new configuration where it stays for a long time. And this time we're living in, they say that this energy race started somewhere in the mid-80s, and that now we're coming into this new age. And I truly believe that what we're seeing is that the energy is racing, and we're now in this agitated period where, if you compare it with the sand corns, that everything is just shaking. And it's very, you can't really recognize everything. Everything is changing around you.
Yes.
But I think that we're coming very shortly to this beautiful stage where it will just lock into this new, beautiful, absolutely beautiful set, life set that will be different to what we know from before. And this is where I think where this duality will end, that we're on the next level, and that this level will be an absolutely astounding new level. That is what I feel.
That's an amazing story that, you know, you've been able to share that, those terrible experiences. And I give you all the praise and power for coming through that. But once again, you have shown that it is possible to move forward and move beyond that into positivity. The way that you spoke about, you know, having to shave all your hair, losing your friends, becoming, going to that very dark place where you felt about that you should end things, and then speaking about the frequencies of the sand and how that equates to our society, I'm genuinely amazed. I'd just love to sit here and listen to how you've been able to transport me from a very dark place into a very bright, positive frequency. It's amazing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Alan. It's my absolute joy, because just like you, I've been through some very dark areas.
Yeah.
And it's so hard on yourself to, but most of us have to do this journey on our own. But if we can help each other, you know, by joining hands and so on, and then we can help and lift each other out of this. Mm. And so once again, this is a super time to be alive, I think. A super, super time. Mm. And one of the ways to get out of it is, like, I would say that depression is very often based on you being too focused on your own things. I know some people react to me saying this. I mean no disrespect at all. But what I'm saying is, depression is very much when you're too focused on your own problems, my life, my this, my that. If that makes you go into a downward spiral. And the way to get out of it, to get the energy up again, is to raise a hand up, reach a hand out and help someone else. Mm. When you help someone else, you gain from it. You start feeling better about yourself. The one you help will feel better from it. So that gains them. And people, it's actually proven that people who see acts of kindness, their energy raises as well. So my suggestion, if you don't know what to do about the New World Order, go out, hug a neighbor, hug a police officer, help an old somebody across the street, go fix somebody else's garden. Don't expect anything for it, you know. Don't expect a thank you or anything like that. Do it without that intention, and you will start raising the energy. You will feel good. You know, like when your neighbor is not home, go fix their garden. Don't let them know that it's you. Maybe that will help them. You know, like suddenly they will say, oh my God, it's a miracle. Mm. I've been dreading this garden for such a long time. I come home, it's fixed.
Yeah.
Who did it? It must be angels or whatever. And they start believing in miracles, and that raises them. So they can do that to their children or whoever around them, and it just spread. So I would also say that one thing with the elite, that they're absolutely beautiful, because when you see what they're trying to force upon us, you can just see that is not the way to go. And when you see what they're trying to ban from us and stop from us, that's the way to go. So they're making it very easy. You know, they try to ban vitamins. Pump yourself with vitamins. They're trying to pump you full of pills. Don't use those.
Yes.
They're trying to control you through TV. Turn it off. Yes. Turn it off. Or choose exactly what you want to see. You are being bombarded through that box, you know.
Mm.
The iPhones, all of these things, they are controlling you with them. Turn them off. You had a life before. You will have a beautiful life on the other side of the off button. Mm. You know, so it's very easy. Look in history once again. How did life work in the old days? How did villages work? How did families work, where the granddads were there together with the children and families were totally integrated, the neighbors were helping each other? How did they do it for thousands and thousands of years? look, it's very easy. Mm. It's been done. Do it again. You know, get away with all these toxins. Stop eating crap food that is there, designed to destroy you. I mean, when you look at it, stop pumping your kids with all these awful, awful, awful vaccines. Educate yourself. See what is in. What have they put in these vaccines and why? And you're pumping into these small, innocent children. I mean, it's horrendous when you look at it. So, so just turn it around. See what they're trying to do. Do it the other way around. Go back to nature's way of solving problems, and Bob's your uncle.
Sometimes, you know, it can be such the simplest thing. It can be, as we are doing, having a conversation and just communicating and sharing experiences and views. And in other ways, you know, it can be doing just performing a simple act. I was stood in a lunch line in a sandwich bar, and there was a young boy next to me. He was probably sort of first couple of years of high school, and he didn't quite have enough money for the lunch that he wanted. So I'd got some change in my hand already, so I just put a pound on the counter and just slid it across in front of him, a pound coin, and that would be enough to cover his lunch. And I didn't expect praise, I didn't expect thanks, but you know, you could see that he was grateful, but you could also see that it was such a shock that somebody, a complete stranger, had just helped him in that moment when he needed it. And it wasn't something I'd planned to do. I didn't think about it. I just saw, oh, well, you know, he needs another bit of metal to hand over to somebody so that he can get his lunch. And there it was, you know, and that's how I saw it. And I know that there would have been people that would have ignored that situation and would have said, oh, nothing to do with me. If he hasn't got enough money, that's his problem. And it just felt so right that I should do that for him. Should just put that coin in front of him, and that would be enough. And it can be just simple little things like that that empower you, empower others, and just help move our society forward.
Once again, this is an absolute beautiful example, Alan. You spent £1, and what you gave was massive to this individual. Yes. I mean, who knows? He might have been going around being suicidal because he's been all alone and he hasn't had the money. He hasn't, you know, he's without hope. And then somebody, in the form of you this time, passed a coin to him, and that gave, I'm sure that this guy, whoever he is, has not forgotten that one.
No.
And that it's really made a major impact on his life, you know.
I hope so.
I'm sure, I can feel it very strong. And that coin have then multiplied through actions that he will be doing to other people.
Mm.
And this is the wonderful thing about, you know, like they do drive-by shooting. I would say drive-by random acts of kindness, you know. Just spread it out there. You can do it, you know, just by smiling to people. But also, like, drive down the highway, pay the toll for the car that's coming behind you, you know, things like that. The next car that comes, well, the guy in front of you just paid for you. That it would blow their mind. It would blow their mind out of this dark place.
Yes.
You know, you spend like 50p and you help someone else in an incredible way. And it's so easy, just like you say. It's so easy. It's all around us.
Mm.
It is all around us. And it can be anything from just sitting and listen to someone who is sad or whatever. Or, do you know, it's when you start opening up your eyes, stop focusing on your own problems. Oh, it's so hard for me. It's so hard for me. It's so hard for me. Look around you. See, what can I do? What can I do? Oh, there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity there.
Mm.
Just go look for them, and it will boost you, and it will make beautiful things happen around you.
Yes.
And it will make it really difficult for the elite to control you in the same way, because you will become, you will start racing in energy, and they will, you will slip out of their grip.
Let's just quickly mention your website again, which is lightonconspiracies.com. I would urge people to take a look at that site. Lots and lots of information about Ole and his work and his projects. And please take the time to, and just take a moment to maybe donate to the work that Ole is doing, and just pass on the positivity from yourself to others.
I would just say any help is greatly appreciated, because the money power is not saying something as that is in my pocket at the moment.
Ole Demogod, thank you.
No, the honor is mine, Anne, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Okay, Ole, thank you very much. Take care.
Take care.
And futures in the past. One of those little gems that I find lurking in my iTunes library. Hadn't planned to play that, but then I saw it, found it, and thought, perfect. So it's 23:33 here in the UK, which means it's, let's have a look, it's 6:33 in New York, it's 5:33 in Austin, it's 3:33 in San Francisco, and it's, let's have a look, it's 7:33 tomorrow morning in Beijing. That really messes with your head, because it's 8:33 tomorrow morning in Tokyo. See? Time travel. I've achieved it. Now, I was wondering what I was going to be talking about next, after the interview. Why did I even worry? All I had to do was open up Twitter, and I saw that some evil witch was on the... I'm going to swear here. BBC, sorry. Harriet Harman was being, air quotes, interviewed about the, air quotes, revelation that she may have, air quotes, supported PI, the Paedophile Information Exchange, back in the late 70s and early 80s. And apparently she said that she didn't do anything to support them, apart from obviously add her name and signature to the Liberty letter to Parliament regarding Lolita's Law, which was being introduced to protect children who were at risk from child pornographers. And they basically said that they wanted the age of consent lowered to at least 13, and that child pornography was okay when the child was in a state of undress or not, as long as the image did not show or imply a child being hurt. So no, she didn't do anything to support paedophiles back then. And it's only been 5 years to the day since the Telegraph did a piece, and now, of course, it's out in the prostitute media again, and the BBC have given her a platform as the deputy leader of the Labour Party to basically go along and say, no, it wasn't me, and she was quoted as saying that it's just the newspapers wanting to rewrite history. No, Harriet, I think what you'll find is that there are investigative journalists who are finding out about your seedy, evil past, and that of your husband as well, who's also a vile, seedy paedophile supporter. It seems to be something that you've become attached to. Anyway, I'm not going to get into a rant, because the last time I got all shouty and stuff, I popped some blood vessels in my left eyeball. And it's only just starting to fade away now, and the blood is starting to be absorbed back into the body, and I don't want to do it again. So, on that note, I'm going to change the subject and remind you to have a look at the picture that I put up of Barry Satoru and somebody called Michelle, allegedly Obama, coming out of an aeroplane. And I've spotted at least 3-4 Photoshop errors. And if you can spot any more, that would be great, and let me know about those. But what I am going to do is just switch accounts on Twitter and go to my US correspondent, the 1800 Online Network. I do two shows on there, and I've managed to gain what has become pretty much a legitimate US correspondent who has been feeding news into 1800 Online on a daily basis. And today's news from 11 hours ago is that Brazil presses the EU for undersea cable to skirt the US so that they can avoid... So they can avoid NSA spying. Sorry, guys. Pretty much all of the EU cable traffic for the net goes through the UK and is tapped off into Cheltenham, into the donut. Hi, guys. Good to have you along this evening. And thanks for allowing me to broadcast pretty much an entire show without interruption. I really appreciate it. And maybe it's because hopefully you're listening and are understanding and are appreciating what it is I'm saying. But it all goes through there, gets filtered and recorded and tapped, etc. The other piece of news from about 10 hours ago is Ukraine interim leader Turchinov wants European choice. Now, this is what the Ukrainian issue was supposedly all about, the president wanting closer ties with Moscow. And the people apparently wanting closer ties with the EU. Why they would want closer ties with a collective, unelected gang of robbers, murderers and killers, I would no idea why they would want that. But, you know, I suppose it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. They can go east and get into bed with the KGB and the communists, or they could go west and get into bed with MI6, the NSA, and the communists or fascists, who seem to be mixing quite well in Brussels. And from around about an hour ago, some quite disturbing news about Russian ships arriving on Ukraine's Crimean coast as fears mount over Russian invasion into the region. This is from ibtimes.com, International Business Times. Russian ships have appeared on the Crimean coast. According to Russian news site flot.com, Russian military ships carrying soldiers have arrived at Ukraine. Now, that really is disturbing, the fact that these are troop ships, according to flot.com. Carrying soldiers have arrived at Ukraine's Crimean coast in what some news reports and experts are claiming could be the early signs of a Russian coup in the hotly disputed autonomous region of the Crimea. Russia's large landing ship Nikolai Filchenkov has arrived near Russian Black Sea military base of Sevastopol, which is a Russian-operated military base in the Crimea. The ship is reported to be carrying as many as 200 soldiers. Doesn't matter how many they are. The fact that there are soldiers there ready to put boots on the ground is very concerning, and has joined four additional ships carrying an unknown amount of special forces troops. Flot.com, there you go. That's really worrying. Flot.com has reported on the February 22nd, 23rd, that personnel from the 45th Airborne Special Forces Unit and additional divisions have been airlifted into Anapa, a city on Russia's Black Sea coastline. However, it's believed that Russia's Sevastopol base contains as many as 26,000 troops, according to the German Institute for International and Security Affairs. Further, it remains to be seen if a weakened Ukraine that is in the midst of a full-scale revolution can respond to the Russian military developments, or if NATO will take the United States line by telling Russia to stay clear of the region. Oh, here we go. However, a Russian invasion of the Crimea seems to be popular with the largely Russian population of the Crimea after a flurry of pro-Russian protesters have called for Russian intervention. Aside from the Crimea, there are concerns from the United States and European governments that Russia could attempt a much larger intervention in Kiev and restore a Russian-friendly government. Very, very, very concerning news. Just a little inconsequential thing that would have possibly passed us by if it wasn't for my good friend Joseph Maloney over there in the US, a man I'd never met, but he's feeding me some excellent news stories, and he does so every day, and I really appreciate his work in gathering those news stories together. Once again, though, here in the UK, we are seeing a rise in tensions as politicians are going out there and trying to raise their own profiles in potentially what they see as positive ways. When we saw a Treasury minister visiting a food bank today. Yes, that's right. There's a report of the Treasury minister. I don't mean to be derogatory, but he's the ginger-haired, red-haired fella. Can't remember his name. It's gone completely out of my head. But I do recall seeing the picture earlier, and I did actually tweet that I thought it was incredibly callous that somebody who is who should and must take responsibility for the fact that we have to have food banks. And I know that my local food bank here in King's Lynn in North Norfolk is incredibly busy with its use going up by at least 25% on the numbers that it was feeding last year. And bear in mind that these are only supposed to be temporary feeding stations. They basically, they give a family 3 days of food, and you have to be referred by a doctor, the police, social worker, etc. It's not the sort of thing that you can just turn up, queue outside and get a handout of food. We haven't got there yet. You still have to be referred. But you know what happens after 3 days when that food's run out? What happens if you're a family, as the vast majority of the people are that use these things, that use these places, these food banks, which are set up and run by charities? It's not government handouts. We're not talking about the state intervening to feed the homeless and the starving families that we have here in the UK. No, we're talking about charities, churches, community groups getting together and handing out 3 days of food to families, parents with very hungry, starving children, homeless families who are living in bed sits and in terrible situations, and they are then having to go to the even worse state of having to get food handouts because they have no money to buy food. How can it possibly be that whether a child eats or not in the UK in 2014 depends on whether the adults that are its parents or its guardians have bits of paper and bits of metal? It just seems totally nonsensical to me. I cannot believe that our society has sunk so low as to deny food to a child because that child or the parent doesn't have the right bits of paper or the right bits of metal. It's a shocking, terrible, shameful indictment on our society, our communities, and on ourselves, that we allow this to happen, that we allow this demeaning, horrid situation to occur every single day to thousands of families across our country. You know, I'm looking down Twitter and, you know, there are people talking about, oh, I can't find the right pair of, you know, I can't find the right trouser shoe combination to stop my bottom looking big. And, you know, it, you know, some actor saying no when asked about Star Wars at a convention. Who genuinely gives a flying F? You know, frankly, you know, it just amazes me that somebody's just sent me a tweet on Twitter. I will just... is that for real? OFFS. What is wrong with this country? Barristers wanting lower legal age to 13. Yes, it is, I'm afraid. I'm sorry. I know who you are. Now that I've seen the tweet, I know who you are. And yes, it's true. There are also people out there campaigning for the age limit to be just done away with altogether. So there should be no age of consent. So that it should be okay for any child of any age to take part in the physical act. And there are some out there, Harriet Arman included, even though she will try and deny it, who have said that incest should be decriminalised. It's absolutely shameful. Once again, we see this shocking, horrid, vile incidents in our society of it being truly messed up. But as I said in the interview, you can't just focus on that. You have to look at the other things that are going on, not just in the world, but in your life. And you have to try and seek out positive things. I mean, I've been talking to the people on the chat room here on awakeradio.co.uk and on awakeradio.us. Been looking at the chat room, and I've got links here for vitamin D3 supplies and vitamin C, etc. Because I had been buying vitamins from the chain Holland and Barrett here in the UK, because it was simply the nearest and only place that I had access to in my local area. There just isn't any other health food shops and that kind of thing. But now I've got access to it. So talking, communicating, sharing this knowledge, and I want, if I can, to just share these rules for being human, because I think it's vital that whilst we are investigating, looking into, being made aware of these dark, horrid things like the abuse of children, and this person on Twitter here is saying, what happened to a child's innocence and wonder of their world? Is their as they're growing up going to be an object for perverts and fixations? Unfortunately, yes, there are those people in our society that do take pleasure from that kind of sick act. But also out there, on the same internet that brings that vile evil into people's homes and into people's lives, there's also blessings and good stuff like this. And to take us towards the end of the show, where I'm going to play a final piece of music, and I'm going to draw the show to a close at midnight. I'm visiting the office of the Community Press Group tomorrow, and I want to have a relatively early start. But I want to bring you from zenyoga.org the rules for being human, and I hope that you'll find them encouraging, and as well as maybe helpful. And they might just bring you some comfort. So the rules for being human: you will receive a body. You may like it or hate it, but it will be yours for the entire period this time round. You'll learn your lessons. You are enrolled in a full-time informal school called Life. Every day in this school, you'll have an opportunity to learn lessons. You may like the lessons or think them irrelevant and stupid. There are no mistakes, only lessons. Growth is a process of trial and error. Experimentation. The failed experiments are as much part of the process as the experiment that ultimately works. A lesson is repeated until learned. A lesson will be presented to you in various forms until you have learned it. When you have learned it, you can then go on to the next lesson. Learning lessons does not end. There's no part of life that does not contain its lessons. If you are alive, there are lessons to be learned. There is no better than here. When your there has become a here, you will simply obtain another there that will again look better than here. Others are merely mirrors of you. You cannot love or hate something about another person unless it reflects something you love or hate about yourself. When you make up your life, it's up to you. You have all the tools and resources you need. What you do with them is up to you. The choice is yours. Your answers lie inside you. The answers to life's questions lie inside you. All you need do is look, listen, and trust. You will forget all this. You can remember it whenever you want. It's nobody's fault but yours. There is no such thing as somebody's or something's fault in life. If you suffer from something or somebody, it is your fault, your karma, to be in that situation. For example, if you're driving and some drunk driver hits you from behind, it is your fault. It is your karma to be in that situation. You've nobody to blame. You can blame your karma. Karma. Karma is your behavior. Whatever you do, whatever you speak, whatever you think becomes your karma. It's very simple to create good karma. Do good, speak good, think good. That's all. Good night. Take care. I will be back on Thursday.